Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 21. Mark, chapter 1, verse 21. And when you arrive there, stand with me as we read from the Word of God, please. Jesus is, of course, with His disciples. And in verse 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with You, Jesus of Nazareth? Did You come to destroy us? I know who You are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him." And immediately His fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank You again for another opportunity to come to Your house, Lord, as we read these words in the book of Mark tonight. Father, may we once again stand, let's put the devil stand before us, in rich grace, power. Give us new faith in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is Fishing Where? Last Sunday, I gave you a challenge. And that challenge was to read the book of Mark. Did you do it? Amen. Good. I won't ask for hands. All right? But if you didn't do it this week, okay? And if you did it this week, do it again. You see, this is our quest. And you know, it's amazing. And I wasn't kidding when I said do it again. Because it's amazing as we repeat reading something like the book of Mark, how much more we pick up the second time and the third time and the fourth time. So I'm going to challenge you, do it again this week, all right? And see what else you gain. But the challenge is this, that we go through this, and Jesus made a promise. He told His disciples, "Follow Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So my challenge to you, last Sunday night, and for the future Sunday evenings, foreseeable future Sunday evenings, was that you read this book of Mark from the point of view that would have been one of the disciples' point of view. Example, you're walking with Jesus. You're learning from the master teacher Himself. You're not just reading to find out information, but I want you to go through this book as though you were following behind Jesus every step that He takes as He teaches His disciples. And the first place we see Jesus taking His disciples is where? In this book of Mark. Capernaum. Okay? Capernaum, the city of Capernaum. And what's really interesting is He takes them to the synagogue of Capernaum. Now he as I said before, the goal is to teach them how to become fishers of men. And the synagogue in that day was the place of worship. It was the place of religious service. It was the place that probably, if you and I were going to go learn how to be fishers of men, we probably wouldn't go, because that's where godly people were supposed to be. And Jesus chose this not to rub elbows with the religious elite of that day, but I think He chose the synagogue here for a specific reason. And that reason was because they needed to hear from Jesus. Now, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, what's the most religious place in Russellville, Arkansas? Amen. Good job, Brother Ken. Good job. Is it not the church? Oh, it is. Now, I'm not saying that the church is the same as the synagogue, because they're two different. They were two different things. But there are some similarities. Yeah, I agree with Brother Ken. I think Victory is the most religious place in the city of Russellville. But I want you to consider that it is the religious place in Russellville. Our church right here, Victory Missionary Baptist Church, is a spiritual center, if you will. And when you're going to win people, is Victory the first place you'd think of? Well, probably not, because, I mean, after all, Victory's supposed to be full of saved people, full of religious people. You're right, it's supposed to be. But the synagogue was supposed to be filled with godly people, and Jesus goes there, and he didn't find godly people. What he found was he went there and he started to teach, and they were amazed at his teaching. They were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one having authority. Can you imagine? This wasn't the first time these people had heard somebody speak. They heard the scribes all the time talking about the Word of God. But they said, this Jesus is different. He speaks as one having authority, which is ability or supernatural power. As a matter of fact, this word literally meant a representative of a government, if you will. So when they heard from Jesus as he shared the Word of God with them, they're hearing from someone that is an official representative of God. And they weren't used to that. All the scribes knew the Scripture. They taught the Scripture. But I believe the problem was they taught it as a bunch of rules and were legalist. And it was all about keeping the law. And if you kept the law, you were okay, you know? Jesus took them to the next level. And you know, I got to thinking, there are probably people at Victory Baptist Church. There is a high probability that there are some people within Victory Baptist Church on Sunday morning who do not really get the big picture. Okay? I'm talking about the big picture of Jesus Christ. Right? I'm talking about they need to, you know, to them, probably church is all about keeping some rules and being good and being the best person you can be so that when you die, you'll go to heaven. And if you think that, there may be someone here tonight that thinks, well, you know, if I'm good and I go to church, then I'll go to heaven. No, you won't. You need to hear from God. But the thing is, the rest of us who know better than that need to be the ones that they hear from. Because there's a lot of churches in the world today that are teaching, be good, keep the rules. And people don't have a clue what it means to have security of the believer. They don't have a clue about what the Bible truly says about going to heaven. As a matter of fact, most people in the religious world today are clueless that they're bound for hell. They think, you know, they think we're okay. But Matthew 7:22, Jesus said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wondrous works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice iniquity. There's a lot of misled people today that need to hear the truth. And there are probably some misled people within the confines of Victory Church from one Sunday to the next. You see, our problem is we take it for granted that people know what we know. Do you ever do that? I mean, I've taken a lot for granted. Sometimes I think, you know, everybody knows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody knows that the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody knows that, but they don't. You see, what happens is I've heard it so much that I've become a little bit callous to it. And listen, I believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior years ago, 1970. It's been a long time, so it's easy for me to look around and think, oh, you know, everybody knows what I know, but they don't. They don't. True, as you look at victory, the majority of people may truly know what salvation is in Jesus Christ. But what about the one? What about the one that does not know? Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, Jesus said, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that one that is straying?" Well, I want you to grasp, Jesus is teaching us a lesson here. Just because you're somewhere that's supposed to be spiritual and godly does not mean everybody has what they need. Just because you come to victory, don't rule victory out as one of your primary places of evangelism. Because the gospel, it's still appropriate to preach the gospel every time you come to church. And I mean, you know, and I'm not just talking about me. We know it's about Jesus, right? We know everything we do is centered upon Jesus Christ. And we know if there is any eternal hope that it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We know all that. Or do we? Are you trusting anything else? It's a lesson to be learned here. Then we go on. Find another amazing fact here to me that as we looked, you know, Jesus is teaching and they're astonished at His teaching. And Jesus discovers somebody in this synagogue at Capernaum. Somebody who wasn't right. It says in verse 23, "There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" A man with an unclean spirit in the place that was supposed to be the God place in that culture. Now, when we say he had an unclean spirit, I want you to understand this man was demon possessed. Okay? It's described as an unclean spirit, and we don't know exactly what the unclean spirit, you know, when we think of demon possessed, we think of somebody rolling on the floor, foaming out at the mouth and out of control, and this wasn't the way this guy presented himself. Okay? Unclean, it means something that defiles, something that corrupts. So there was something, there was a spirit in him that corrupted him. It could have been idolatry, could have been immorality, or just some evil. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that Jesus wasn't around him long before he's... "You're not right." I mean, he picked up on it quick. I wonder how long this guy had been there and nobody ever noticed. Yeah? How many other people he led down the wrong path and nobody ever said anything? Let us not be surprised at the schemes and the operations of Satan, even in churches today. Okay? Like I said, synagogues are different from churches. I understand we're New Testament churches, but don't you think because we're a New Testament church that we're off limits to Satan. As a matter of fact, the more we work and the more we do as a New Testament church, the more Satan himself wants to get into this church. We're a target. And just because somebody says or somebody is in the church does not mean that they are of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." It is our responsibility to test the spirits. Because not every spirit is of God. Yeah? You have that responsibility. I have that responsibility. How do you test them? You examine them. How do you examine them? You hold them against the standard of God. You do know the things we do in this church must be according to the Word of God. Okay? If it's not according to the Word of God, if we don't have a biblical pattern for what we do, we just have a tradition. Okay? I'll look you in the eye tonight and I'll make you a promise. I will never be offended if you test anything that comes out of my mouth according to the standard of God. Why? Because you have that responsibility. Okay? Now, I'm not... And the reason I say it, we need to get into that habit. We need to get into that habit of, okay, is what's being presented, is this really of God? And not just because somebody presents it, because I'll tell you, one of these days you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to give an account of the things in this life. And I promise you, God is not going to be impressed. Jesus is not going to be impressed when you say, well, my pastor, Brother Doug, said. He's not. And if you ever find me in error, scripturally speaking, I will thank you for correcting me. You know what I've discovered? As bad as I hate to say that, I'm not always right. Okay? I'm not. Try the spirits, and not just me. Church leaders in general. Church members. You know, if there's a church member who's stirring up issues and stirring up trouble, try the Spirit. Try what they're doing based upon the Word of God. If there's a teacher that teaches something that does not line up with the Word of God, try, you know, check him out. Our teachers will not mind if you check them out. Amen? They're like me. But we have that responsibility, because just because it's going on in church does not make it godly. We're still, do you realize we're still dealing with demons today, right? They're still very real. And they're still very active. And they still are very deceptive. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14 says, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Man. What a threat. Why is this so important that you try the spirits? Because Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" All you've got to do, you compare them to, you know, you put them up against the standard of the Word of God, and they'll not measure up. And then look at their fruits. Look at what they've done. What kind of fruit? Okay? We're talking about spiritual fruit. The fruit of the spirits is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Is what that person doing? Is it coming from a heart of love? Is there joy in their life? Is there peace in their life? Listen. Listen. A life that's always turned upside down, something's wrong. Yeah? I understand we talked about fighting battles this morning, but boy, if Jesus is living within, there is a peace, a noticeable peace about you. Fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, which is patience. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Can you be kind? I look back at some of our churches in the past, and I'll be honest with you, we abused church discipline in the past. Some of our churches did. Some of our churches were ugly. They weren't trying to correct. They were trying to kick people out. That's not what church discipline is. That's not kindness. That's not the grace of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't practice church discipline. Yes, I am. But I am saying that as a church, if we practice church discipline, it has to be with a heart of love and desire to bring that person back to God. That's the purpose. You see? fruit of the Spirit that'll be there. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. These are things you'll notice about a spirit that comes from God. As I studied this, I thought, wow. Jesus took these guys to the most religious place that he knew of at that time, you know, to the religious center, the synagogue at Capernaum. Because they needed to learn that even people in those religious centers needed God. You know what? There are people in churches today who need God. Never let us come to that point where we take for granted. Have you ever just took for granted that everybody around you is saved? Have you ever done that? Oh, I have too. How do you know that they are? Let me ask you something. Would you be offended if somebody asked you, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Would you be offended? I wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I would kind of make me smile. I'd say, you bet I'm saved. Back when I was 8 years old, I called upon Jesus Christ and made Him my Lord and Savior. You know? And absolutely. I'm glad to confess it before you today, and I'm glad for you to know it. And I'll never, and if you want to ask me again, you ask me again. I'll be glad to tell you again. Yeah? Never take it for granted that people around you are saved, because you do not know that. You do not. It's our job to be fishers of men. It's our job to plant the seed, even in church. Now, as we come to the close of this message, I want to ask you, you ready? Everybody's attention. Are you a child of God? Talking to everybody here. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven? Amen. If you can't say amen, if you don't have that assurance, listen, brother, don't walk out of here without that assurance. Well, Brother Doug, how do I get it? That's easy. Romans 10, verse 9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Will you call upon Jesus tonight to make Him your Savior? We're going to have a verse of invitation for you. Will you call upon Jesus? Maybe you're here and you're already saved. The Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and to join as we arm in arm move forward, becoming fishers of men. I invite you to come. Maybe you need to come as a candidate for baptism because you've never been baptized. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you, say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And I want to challenge you. Challenge everyone here. Do not take for granted what you think you know about somebody else. When you leave here tonight, you be bold. You ask them, are you a child of God? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, for the example that You've given us tonight. As we looked into Your Word, the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, You took Your disciples to the synagogue to teach them that there were people there who needed You. So, Lord, tonight we're reminded those things we take for granted, we have no business taking for granted. Those ones that we're not bold enough to ask, are you saved? We have no business, Lord. So I pray that tonight we'll be bold. I pray that tonight, Lord, if there's one in this service who does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night that they'll receive You, make You the Lord of their life. Whatever the spiritual need, Lord, I pray that when this invitation is through, we'll all walk out of here with things made right with You. In Jesus' name I pray.